Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio. Every week, Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller interviews CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Now, your host, Jason Miller.
My guest today is Hari Bezwada, the Chief Information Officer of the Army Program Executive Office Enterprise Information System. Hari, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
I want to say I've had the PEO EIS CIO on my show before, but I think this is the first time for you. But you and I have talked many times, many over the years. I remember our first conversation going all the way back to the Pentagon renovation days. So I'm glad to see you're in a different place now. You're not still pushing down breaking walls and creating data centers. So let's just start with the basics, PEO EIS. It's a well-known acronym, but what does it do for the Army?
PEO EIS connects the global Army. We build and deploy the global network that connects the Army and its mission partners, first of all. Second, EIS provides communications, finances, logistics, and human capital systems that support every soldier, every day, everywhere. Third, EIS is a recognized IT leader in delivering capabilities by leveraging better buying power. So that's the crux of the things what PEOIS does.
So you said the key word, leveraging IT, better buying power, two big initiatives. You're the CEO. I imagine that's your focus area is the both the idea of leveraging IT and also making sure you guys buy it well. So talk a little bit about your role as CIO.
Yeah, well, so what we looked at was, where are the pressure points within the organization in delivering faster, quicker solutions? So in the past, with the sequestration problems and with the funding issues and the need to do quicker, faster solutions, we decided to use a better buying power and also a collaborative teaming effort as well. And it's important to we how that works. In the past, it used to take a major base 5 years to modernize IT-wise. Now we're doing it in 5 months. That's a order of magnitude difference. And secondly, it is a team sport. In the past, EIS used to be modernizing. NETCOM used to operate it. And our soldiers who are fielded when there's a war, they're the ones who go out and deploy in the initial stages of war. So what we said was, well, during the peacetime, why can't we leverage them and have them help us so we can do self-help and do it ourselves? And nowadays, it is helping us up with the better buying power as well, because we're buying 30,000 switches last year, for example, that allowed us to get about 91% off, which is unheard of. As a result, we were able to stretch the capability to much further and modernize a lot more bases and a lot quicker by taking advantage of the collective team.
This is fascinating. The fact is went from 5 years to 5 months. The fact is that your price point dropped 91%. Volume discounts obviously play a big role. The Costco, the BJs of switches there. Give me a sense of where you fit into this. Are you the one that's leading the modernization effort? Are you one piece of a bigger effort? What part of the puzzle are you?
Obviously, we get the functional requirements from our functional community, CIO, G6, Army, Cyber. We then look at architectures. What's the best way? Our CIO office really plays in the standardization of every base should not be different. There should be a consistent model and consistent way of doing business. That is what also helped. Our PMs are the ones who do the acquisitions. They're the ones who deploy. But what we have recommended was analyzing end-to-end what's happening, which PM need to do what, and how do you synchronize them and bring them all together, delivering a faster solutions. So as a staff element to Mr. Wilsey, who's a PEO, our job is to look across all the PMs and make sure we're delivering solutions efficient way and standard mechanism as well.
So a lot of times when I talk to CIOs, I ask them, are they operational, are they strategic, are they a little bit of both? It sounds in many cases you're very much operational in the sense that you're saying, okay, what's the standard, again, architecture that we're going toward? How do we make it happen? And then the strategic kind of comes in secondary to say, okay, this PM is doing this part of the architecture. That PM is going to do another part of the architecture. Do I understand that right?
Yes, absolutely. Again, Army has trained me extremely well over the years, and we have really benefited having a variety of different experiences as well. I mean, as you said earlier in the show, when we talked about Pentagon Innovation, that really gave me operational construct. And that helped me shape when the time was reduced from 2015 to get it done by 2010, we were able to do that. So we learned lessons from there. And how do we apply those lessons in the broader context across all of DOD? Because we are now even sharing all our ideas with our sister partners in Air Force and Navy and Marine Corps. So our job is, how can we do better and quicker and faster and cheaper, at the same time, make sure we all work as a team delivering the solutions, not in isolation.
From that IT operational side with the strategic, you know, built in, what were some of the biggest lessons that you brought over from that Pentagon renovation? Because as you said, you had a quicker timeline, and then it was the Pentagon renovation in and of itself was complicated. So modernizing bases probably seems a little easier in some ways.
Really, the main takeaway is the idea of team sport. Don't look at it as you're a government person and the contractor is some other. We're all human beings. I mean, we're all in it together. If a contractor does not make money while doing the work, that's not good for us. Same way, if we're not delivering the solution, it's not good for the government folks. As long as we understand each other and work together, delivering the solutions and respecting each other's space and needs, what we need to do, then we absolutely can do miracle work. And what we're teaching or what we are talking to our younger generation folks in the program management offices, those of us who have been around, is all the lessons learned, how to keep that cohesive workforce and cohesive team in delivering the solutions is where we bring the strength to the table.
I'm glad you brought up the workforce, because it's always interesting to get a sense of what your workforce looks like. So how big is your workforce, PEO, EIS, CIO's office, contractors, service members, military civilians, and then what is the IT budget for 2015?
In the PEO, EIS overall, we have about 602 civilians, about 65 uniformed personnel, and over 1,200 contractor personnel working as a team. And last year, PEO managed about 29% of Army IT budget, which is about over $3 billion. So how we work together is, quality is more important than quantity. So we look for highly self-motivated, go-getter personalities with superior technical and general problem-solving skills. Those folks must have the ability to document solutions, predict the estimate impacts, and continually reinforce solutions through briefings and leading by example. And so we look for a highly talented team of people. It's not, again, quality is more important than quantity every single time.
You talk about 29%, about $3 billion you managed for the Army. That is basically, someone has a need, they come to the PEOEIS, and they give them, quote unquote, money to go buy that IT. Is $3 billion up? Is $3 billion down? Are parts of the combatant commands and the bases looking for more help from you guys than in previous years? Do you get a sense of that?
As the word gets around, as the more we do faster, quicker, innovative way, more follow. And that over $3 billion is PEO-wide. So Mr. Wilsey is the one who actually leads that area. And our job as a CIO is actually help him execute the best way possible.
The IT budget, a lot of vendors listen to my show. So one thing about the budget, the $3 billion, as you said, PEOEIS wide, do you have, as the CIO, have a specific IT budget, or most of your spending comes from fulfilling the needs of the combatant commands and others?
PEO get both. We got the customer funding as well as that is POMed, where the funding is given by the Congress also for specific approval requirements. We do not generate requirements in CIO office, nor conduct acquisitions. Our job is to, like I said earlier, do the architectures and analyze across the organizations and come up with the better solutions. So it is the PMs in the way PEOs are structured that actually do acquisitions and execute.
So basically, we'll get to this later with the vendors, but your advice is leave me alone. I know that's not what you would say. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to jump into some programs, some initiatives you're working on. My guest today is Hari Bezwada, the Program Executive Office, Enterprise Information System, Chief Information Officer. I'm your host, Jason Miller, and you're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
Wouldn't it be great if Cybersecurity Awareness Month extended into the entire year, while Public Awareness Month...
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm your host, Jason Miller. My guest today is Hari Bezwada, the Program Executive Office Enterprise Information Systems for the Army Chief Information Officer. Now, Hari, before break, we were talking a little bit about the makeup of your office, how you as the CIO supports the mission of the PEO EIS for the Army. Let's talk about workforce skills. You said it's about quality over quantity, but there's always a set of workforce skills that every CIO is looking for, whether it's cyber or program project management. From your perspective, with your focus on architecture, is that your biggest skill set that you're in need of?
Senior system engineers, people with cyber skills, people with actual experience of implementing and designing, not oversight functions, but actual people with experience that we can just tell by looking at something. How fast can we get at it, and what can happen? Not study it to death.
That's important, the not study to death. How are you addressing those skill sets? Is it a recruitment? Is it a training issue? Because if you take what you said, you could apply that to probably any CIO around government.
Yeah, I look at it, what I call anchors. It's key is, it's like looking at better analogies like an MBA. You know, if Cleveland gets LeBron James, then other talented superstars will join them. So I always look for who are the key anchors that are willing to stay with us and not just take the job initially and then leave right away, but actually look for them and they'll come and join. And then others will say, aha, let's go there because they're doing great things. And fortunately, a lot of the people around is loyalty over the years that they have worked with me for most people over decades. So after Fennecott Innovation, some of them followed here as well. And we picked up other talent we were missing to do this particular job by scouring where the talent is and making sure we pay them right and bring them in.
Are there certain times when you find it harder to hire? Obviously, DOD and agencies more generally went through the budget challenges, sequestration. Have you seen an impact from those challenges in terms of on the people side?
We looked at it differently at that challenge. We've been asked from 2011, 12, 13, 14, 15, every year to take a 10% cut. So how do you manage while taking the cut at the same time bring in the quality people? So this is where we replaced when we arrived on the job, quantity versus quality. And we used to have a lot more people and we just decided it's easier, I'd rather turn in two people and get one biller back of talented person than two people that are average. And that's how we were able to manage so far.
All right, very nice, because I think, again, every CIO probably has seen the workforce challenges you discussed. Let's move over to some older priorities. When you've been on our radio station before, when we've talked to you before, one big one for the PEO EIS was something called the Unified Communications RFP. Talk about the status of that. I know it doesn't necessarily come out of your office, but you as the CIO has to support something like that when it does get awarded and when it goes into production. So give me a sense of the update on the Unified Communications effort.
Unified Communications is really very critical for Army, not just for Army, actually for all of DOD. And the reason is our data is growing exponentially at every camp, post, and station today. And we cannot have the save as data, which makes up about 80% of your NipperNet data. We can't have that grow this phenomenally and have at all these locations. Industry already started adapting to cloud solution like Microsoft 365 or Google's and others. So what we were, actually Army is looking to do is take advantage of what's commercially available. And Mr. Alverson, DOD CIO, is very big on trying to make that happen. So right now we are for the UC RFP. Preparation for it is we're first getting the requirements document is being finalized through our functional community. Once we get the requirements, we'll assess the material solution, whether it's existing or new, and have the PM Enterprise Services within the PEO EIS lead that procurement if a new acquisition is required. Because there are other things going on with DISA trying to stand up a joint one as well. So we will, once we get the requirements, we will analyze what's the best way to go forward on those things.
Now, from a CIO's perspective in PEO EIS, you don't buy, you don't release the RFP, but you'd have to support it. Do you have to do preparation on your end, or sometimes there's a waiting period until the decision's made of which direction goes, and then you maybe jump into action?
We went slightly differently. We came up with a strategy, data strategy, we call it, because when the data strategy identifies about 80% is save as data, your Microsoft Office, Word, Excel, PowerPoint types, an email, PSD file type. We said, how do we get that centralized? So we don't have 202 data centers or whatever around the globe and trying to exponentially growing this stuff. So we identified what the problem was. We identified what potential solutions could be out there, and architecture primarily. And that's what we convey to the Army leadership, why we are taking on this massive network modernization effort across the globe right now. Because if you're going to take it to the cloud, you have to have the infrastructure. And if you're going to have the infrastructure and you need to have higher capacity infrastructure, then you have to articulate and make sure it's standard too, because we cannot afford to have problems come on from one base is differently and the second base is different because there are have different infrastructures. So that's why our role is to identifying and analyzing what the problems are and then providing what kind of things can solve the issues. Then that is taken input as an input into the functional requirement community, and they tell what the real requirements are. Then the PM takes from there actually executing what it is. So a lot of it for us is the architecture side, and analyzing the issue upfront is more critical for us.
I think you read my next question, because I was going to ask you about that data center effort. So let's combine that with the data strategy a little bit. How do those two work together? You guys in the Army, I know, have been reducing something like more than 900 data centers at one point. I think that was back in 2011, so it's been almost 5 years. So give me a sense of where you're at and how does that data strategy fit in?
The Army leadership, again, back in CIO G6, they realized it's impractical if you take 900 existing data centers and just say, okay, tell me where already built up capacity that's sitting empty, I can just bring these in. So we have looked at it differently. The policy is about data strategy. If 80% can go to cloud and sort of provided by whether on-prem or off-prem by the commercial service provider, then our 10% of our data is really C2 on business applications. I mean, they're behemoths when it comes to actual lines, number of codes, and how long it takes to create those ERP-type systems or other C2 systems. But the data itself is only 10% of overall things. So we are now strategically following CIO G6 and Army Undersecretary's guidelines, which is we're taking our ERPs, going to DISA, and working with the DLA and Air Force to create center of excellence for the ERP systems. Because it's very hard to find highly talented people to take care of with SAP backgrounds and Oracles and all those things. It's a lot easier when you consolidate into center of excellences to find people and to execute those things. Right now, POS is looking to shift 5 business systems to DISA, and 2 of them, we just achieved initial operating environment at DISA in July. And so we'll be looking to migrate those 2 and then look forward to, over the next 2 years, take the remaining systems. And this becomes very critical. The second thing is DoD CIO, even in concert with all Army and Air Force CIOs, have decided we need to create not only data centers that could be on-prem or not, but we got to leverage the commercial sector as well. This way, what PEO has looked at is how do we create the contracts so people can take their stuff to those locations rather than every single organization trying to look for contracts on their own. So that's how we intend to be solution partners to the community.
The ERP piece is such a huge effort. I've heard very few success stories. DoD has their own troubles with ERP systems over the years. First, talk about the Center of Excellence for ERP and your role in that, and then I definitely want to talk about these business systems and the move to DISA in July. So, but start with the Center of Excellence. Where are you guys at with that effort?
We have worked with our mission partners at DISA, General Lin and also General Farrell and Mr. Wilsey. They have all agreed to. We selected 2 locations. I will just stay with that. And we are moving our stuff there. We came up with architecture how to reduce over 1,000 CPUs in this migration as well. And because the better we consolidate and shrink it down, the more we can not only save on the for the per license costs, but it also helps us to reduce the security posture by reducing the number of units that we have to deal with. So things are going well currently, and we didn't have any issues because we fielded LMPs already out in the fielded system. We have the GCS Army worldwide we're fielding currently, and ASAPs. So each of our systems have been moved already. We're now taking the second step, how to modernize it by combining them and virtualizing them so we can reduce the overall footprints and cyber attack surface.
Interesting. So your ERP systems have been moved.
We started two of them in the process, but by 2018, the goal is to get all five of them out.
Okay, because when you said the business systems, I want to make sure that was clear that we were talking the same thing, business systems, ERP. So two hit initial operating capability in July. What does that mean? And then what's the next step for those systems to reach FOC?
One of the first things we wanted to do was make sure, like you mentioned earlier, there are a lot of problems with ERPs, whatever. So with the new target architecture, we put that equipment at the current location and migrate it and make sure that is doable. So once we got that confirmation, we then worked with DISA to stand up the environment. And it's like analogous to house, right? If somebody built a brand new house, they gave you the front door to your keys, now you bring in the furniture. So we're in a state of trying to bring in our system from one location into moving all that over to DISA. And so then we can start reducing our overall footprint.
Very cool. It's something obviously we want to follow up with you on as we move forward, because ERP is, again, a huge bugaboo across government. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to jump into a couple more acronyms in there, ERP. Now we're going to jump into GIE and JRSS. My guest today is Hari Bezwada, the Program Executive Office Enterprise Information System Chief Information Officer for the Army. I'm your host, Jason Miller, and you're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm your host, Jason Miller. My guest today is Hari Bezwada, the Program Executive Office, Enterprise Information Systems for the Army, Chief Information Officer. Now, Hari, before break, we're talking a lot about maybe some older, quote-unquote, priorities, data center consolidation, which obviously you guys are making a lot of progress with ERP systems. Let's talk about some priorities that are Army-wide, but really will probably affect the PEOEIS, the GIE, the Joint Information Environment, the JRSS, the Joint Regional Security Stacks, two big priorities across the Army. How do you, as the CIO of the PEOEIS, work within those two big priorities?
Army is the leader in embracing GIE, and we're all in it. It's not just JRSS. A lot of people misunderstand it's not Joint Regional Security Stacks. It's also a joint management system that gives end-to-end visibility of what's happening, and also the MPLS routers. In the past, people may or not be patching the systems and other things across services. Now it's all going to be owned by DISA. So we are embracing and trusting our mission partners and putting our keys in their hands and saying, the only way we're going to get better at this thing is all of us have to trust each other and work together and create a joint information environment. And in doing so, we have taken a practical approach of, hey, with the limited resource and everything else, and also getting the top talent at every base to do three shifts to monitor the security is not practical. So that's why we created also regional security stacks, best of breed solutions. So most vendors that we have in the United States can also be given an opportunity to be participant in this thing, which allows them in the future to research, put their own money into researching next generation solutions. We didn't want to leave many people around, but so we developed best of breed solutions.
You worked on the architecture side. Once that architecture side is done, and I know architecture is never done, it's always evolving, do you then have to take what you did and kind of eat your own dog food, for lack of a better word, as you modernize the bases and camps and stations and such?
Absolutely, and we decided to be the first to go do that. And Army has successfully now moved local security stacks onto joint regional security stacks at San Antonio and Fort Hood as well. So two bases today are operational on JRSS. And we not only embraced everything, we brought the resources to the table Army-wise, and we're also the first one to say, let's get it done, let's get there, as an example.
What was the role from your perspective, from PEOEIS as its CIO, as Joint Base San Antonio, as the others got modernized under the contract of the JRSS?
So one of the things we helped in the process is the, of course, we relied on our DISA partners to actually implement and do the migration teams from the joint migration teams. But we also reached out to our partners at NetComm to do the service migration teams, because there are things that we have to do, there are things that joint team has to do. And we've also found some of the highly talented individuals in the past that used to work for us and make sure they're also made available to our partners at DISA and everything, because we wanted to find people with experience doing this, not just anybody, LPTA contracts or whatever, and go get somebody, and then you find out why you don't know how to do things. So it is going very well. The teams have been gelling, and I expect as we get more connectivity made available soon, then we're going to go much, much faster.
You said the dirty word, the LPTA. We're going to probably get to that a little later, maybe around contractor stuff. Let's move on to some of your personal priorities for PEOEIS. What are you hoping to get done over the next, you know, 6 or 9 months?
My goal is to actually stress how critical this process continues, because the journey that we took on was to modernize and replace all switches and all bases globally at all Army sites. I mean, that's a humongous undertaking. But if you don't do those, then you'll have haves and have-nots. And this is where our soldiers should not see the difference from one base to other base. And this also gives a wonderful opportunity to bring the capabilities, enable all the things they're used to almost at home. The capabilities were easy as whether you have portals, whether you want to have Office 365 or any other solutions that are going to be out there for users to do their job better, faster, quicker. That's what we want to enable. And that's why I don't want the message to be lost. So we communicate, and General Farrell is doing a fabulous job, obviously, to bring that and continue what has been started and enable us to get there. And Mr. Vilsey, now he's a very seasoned our leader, and he has been guiding us through this mage and our PMs, making sure that we don't take our eye off the ball.
A lot of what we've talked about is focusing on external, the role you have, obviously, modernizing bases, working within the Army on, for instance, data center consolidation. Are you also working internally on some programs and projects? Are there, for instance, a better contract writing system? Is there a way to use data analytics better? Talk a little bit about kind of some of the internal things that are happening within PEOEIS.
Internally, we are also looking at doing some pilots with we developed a Wi-Fi architecture as well. And we were looking to conduct some of those pilots to see how successful it will be, not only for NIPR side, but also CIPR classified side as well. And this all goes back to how do we reduce the cost of the future and while at the same time giving more capability and to our users. We're also developing with big data. Everybody talks about big data, but we compartmentalizing what we should focus on and what things already there, because a lot of people, wide brush, may look at it. We combine them into three areas, business intelligence and analytics. In there, BI comes with our ERPs. So let's not spend time on trying to do those. Security intelligence analytics, those are going to be coming with the JRSS and the tools that they're going to be deployed with those. So what we really want them to focus on is operational intelligence analytics. What's happening, and that's the area we're trying to define better. And second area is also mission-critical systems area. How can we come up with a better ComSec architecture for classified networks? Because we cannot, today's world of having the Cold War-type crypto gear here and there, you know, we got to come up with a better way of distribution of keys, or even eliminating the keying, so keying way of doing it, but still do secure communications. And we have another challenge. General Farrell has asked, how can do home station mission command, which means in the future warfare and others, you know, we may not be able to take heavy IT with us. We may have to leave most of that on the state side, because we have to be nimble. Our services got to be nimble. And the threats are increasing. The reach of the weapons and other things and the missiles are getting longer and larger. So the best way to do may have to be leaving that back home. And how does that work? So we are now working through those mechanisms.
All right, a couple of things to follow up with you on. Let me start with the Wi-Fi pilots. Where are you with that? Is that just in the development stage, or is that something that's going to be tested fairly soon, or is in the middle of being tested?
Wi-Fi has been deployed throughout Army, but they're done in such a way we believe may not be efficient, because they did it at the time was great because they have a particular need at a particular room or a particular building. They took care of those. What we're finding is, when we originally started Wi-Fi in this building, for example, we have a controller in this building. Next building has a controller. It doesn't make any sense to have controllers in every building. So we came up with an architecture where controllers are controlled by the NEC, our base level, and the access points will be in the user spaces. And how do we make the enterprise, is a better way of saying is we're looking for enterprise Wi-Fi solution, just a Wi-Fi solution. For this, we are awaiting modernization of our base here. We would like to conduct locally so we don't have to travel any place and do those things. And those places that are already been widely deployed, we're talking to General Farrell about, it's a very small investment to put the controllers, a couple of controllers at the head of the table, and existing ones can be rehomed. So we may achieve tremendous amount of agility in achieving the enterprise Wi-Fi solutions in the future. So we want to try it out first in 16 here at Belvoir, and then see if do the lessons learned, and then see if we can go global.
All right, very cool. I mean, it's interesting because Wi-Fi has been talked about for so long, and people just say, well, this is the way we could do it in 2010 or 2011, and now here we are 4 years later, and technology, again, as we see with everything, switches and moves and changes. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're getting to some of your other parties that you mentioned. My guest today is Hari Bazwada, the Program Executive Office, Enterprise Information Systems in the Army, Chief Information Officer. I'm your host, Jason Miller, and you're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
Federal News Radio's Jason Miller is on.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm your host, Jason Miller. My guest today is Hari Bazwada, the Army's Program Executive Office, Enterprise Information Systems Chief Information Officer. Now, Hari, before break, we were talking about some priorities internally. A couple priorities that always come up when I talk to CIOs, mobility and cloud. Let's start with mobility. How are you guys trying to become more mobile, ensure that PEOEIS employees have access to applications, to data, from tablets, smartphones, phablets, whatever we're going to call it now?
We are actually going full tilt on mobility. One is we're making sure the infrastructure is being ready end-to-end on the foundation level, and then we're looking at the Wi-Fi to reach the user area. Now the third leg of the stool is the role-based applications. It is important that we, like examples like ERPs or any other systems, that when you have a clerk who want to order a part as a logistician, he shouldn't have to have the entire interface available on there. He just need to know what his role is and download only the apps that he needs. It does two things for us. One is it becomes manageable front-end changes. When things happen, software changes and other things, we could always make it better, faster, quicker. Second thing is cost controls, right? Not only for the user it's better, because he doesn't have to get training and all the things, only things that they need by downloading the apps. And that's the way all our new young people that are joining the services and everything, they're used to application, role-based app, you know, they're having the apps store, downloading what they need and relinquishing when they don't need and deleting them if necessary. So we are looking at that, all three segments, making sure that we have 100 gig base-to-base communications, the large bases. Then we're doing a 10 gig to the building in the closet, where that way we had to look at the end-to-end whole thing is they're having the Wi-Fi capability also traversing through those 10 gig switches, going through the 100 gig for leaving the base, getting to the locations, and that is the big architecture thing that we really focus on.
Does mobility give you a bigger challenge than maybe some other things because there's a security piece, but there's also this push by the soldiers and servicemen and women who say, I want it now, and I want to be able to use whatever I want to use, whenever I want to use it, however I want to use it. Does that add a layer of complexity?
Absolutely. And so all of us, whether soldiers, we need, education is key. You know, cybersecurity is everybody's job. And it's not just because only cybersecurity organization. So awareness is very important. And following through and making sure that the policies that we set, both electronically as well as in writing. They're critical. On the other side, we can't be no-sayers all the time. We got to anticipate, hey, there are things that we got to allow them to do. If people after hours have to use their mobile devices to take training, you know, they don't have to go drive to a particular building to do it. You know, these are practical things that in this day and age, we should be able to be doing it. So we're creating within the JRSS stack and so forth is a, say, highway, so-called, you know, analogy-wise. We're going to create their own super highway to get to the internet world versus Nipponet world. So they can leave the campus and station and without ever affecting the Nipponet world. That's the larger picture of why we're doing JRS anyway and MPLS.
I want to shift over to cloud. Disapproved about 30 cloud providers under what they call an initial ATO, authority to operate. Talk a little bit about how the PEO EIS is looking at those cloud providers and potentially using some for future projects.
So we are absolutely committed to the cloud, like most of our functional community, with our CIOs, G6, or with the DoD CIO guidance. What I see the biggest challenge is the culture. We're used to having this big document sitting with us, you know, checking 1,000 things. We are able to shed some things. If the FedRAMP is the new way that we all agree is the new standard way of doing it, once it is approved at the FedRAMP, we shouldn't even be putting them through the same ringer to go through to pass. IATO is one thing where DISA is great. They're fabulously moving forward with it. The burden is still left at the service levels, how to get the ATO, authority to operate. So they have to assume the risk or not risk. And so in this area is where we are challenging our own mindsets and other things, saying, look, if this has already been cleared elsewhere with the standards that we all agreed, then we shouldn't be putting additional burdens on them. One. Number two is not everybody can get there by themselves. A separate contract with everybody. If Amazon had to do one for every organization that's interested, it's impractical for them to be successful. So PEO EIS is looking at creating umbrella contracts that individuals or organizations can take advantage of, so we don't have to keep doing those individually.
Are you looking at a specific contract potentially for cloud in some ways, whether it's infrastructure or software or platform as a service?
I think that is in the works. I'm not sure exactly where within there. POS is looking to do that. We have a separate program manager for that.
All right. Something to look forward to and follow up with the folks at the POEIS about. You brought up this several times throughout our conversation, cybersecurity, another big issue for every CIO. You talked about FedRAMP just now. Earlier, you talked about communication security. How are you as the CIO of PEO EIS really focusing on data networks and ensuring that the information that you hold and the way you guys work is cyber secure?
In the CIO, these days, our data and everything else is actually held by NetComm. It is our files and other things get to be, all of Army now has devolved our responsibilities where their stuff is sits there. Yes, we also have things that locally maybe, but they all go through the so JRSS is in the future, and we expect the best of breed products able to provide us better. Second thing is we're also looking at things that you could do at the end user side, the 802.1x and NAC type solutions where, you know, port security and other things. That's where we're looking at. We're also looking at insider threat software that is available. As most people can guess, is that when people trying to leave a job, they try to copy as many things as what they got to take with them. You never know what you need type. So how do we ensure that they're not scouring all the other areas and trying to copy all sorts of things? So we're trying to look for ways that we are analyzing now, the tools that are able to provide you insight into all that.
So I know DoD has been out in front with the CAT card, using it for both logical and physical access. Are you looking to, and I know that's a DoD thing, but personally, is there anything around roles and responsibilities? I think that tags back to the insider threat. Who has access to read? Who has access to change data? Is that something that's also a part of that effort around the insider threat?
Absolutely. So it's very important how, I mean, for example, our portals we have, it's very important that we, rather than saying allow everyone and then do the other way, we do the other way. You know, it's locked down to the author and you decide who gets to be added. So some of the basic practical things that you would do with your own house or with your own property, things that we got to think like that when it comes to the data. It is ultimately the priceless for security reasons to protect it.
Well, Hari, we were almost out of time. Before I let you go, as I mentioned earlier, a lot of vendors love to listen to the show. So let me just ask you from your perspective, what should vendors know about working with you specifically and PEO EIS more generally?
It's always best if they know our environment and do some homework before they come in and know what they can do better, cheaper, faster than what we already have. So when you come in and you already have a, you know, we know this is what you do, and here's how we can make it better, faster, that's fine. That's one. Number two is we want to be treated like a partner in a solution, not a just come in and say, this is what you need, this is what's going to work only. You got to be a conversation between our partners in the industry and us. And of course, everybody knows by reputation, I look for the deepest discounts possible. So if you come to the table, I ask them, make sure you're willing to come in and tell us the type of discounts that you could willing to offer, because no sense in gaming the thing. Otherwise, we'll be wasting each other's time.
All right, good advice. And the 91% discount from the 30,000 switches is a great example of the deep discounts. That's all the time we have for today. My guest is Hari Bazwada, the Army's Program Executive Office Enterprise Information System Chief Information Officer. I'm your host, Jason Miller. You've been listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Hari, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, Ask the CIO, Thursday mornings at 10:30, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.